So these Maher people, these ex-ancestral Mahars, they produced a great leader called Dr. Ambedkar. His full name was Bhim Rao Ambedkar. And he was born towards the end of the last century. He was a quite remarkable man. He managed to get education. He had a sort of military background. His father had a sort of military background. His father had been with the British Army, had got a little bit of education. So his son managed to get an education in India, though it was very, very difficult, and eventually pursued higher studies in England, London School of Economics, actually, Germany, and in America. And he returned to India, returned to Bombay in the early 30s, determined to do something for his community. So to cut a very long story short, he did quite a lot. He started all sorts of institutions, started a great propaganda, all calculated to raise the standard of living of his people in every way, and to induce or persuade other Hindus, caste Hindus, to treat them more as human beings. So he wrote, he fought law cases, he became quite an expert in law, education, sociology, politics. He entered politics, of course, eventually, stood for parliament and so on. At the end of his career, he was a minister in the central government of independent India, became eventually law minister. So this great figure, Dr. Ambedkar, was trying as hard as he could to alleviate the condition of the Mahar people. But again and again he came up against one obstacle, and that was orthodox Hinduism. Orthodox Hindus would simply not admit that these ex-ancestral people, who, of course, in a way were still untouchable in their eyes, they were only ex-ancestral in law, in a law which was not enforced. He found that the Hindus, the caste Hindus, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, even the lowly Shudras, were not prepared to treat the Maharas on a footing of equality. In fact, resisted so doing very, very strongly. So at first Ambedkar had the idea of trying to win over the Hindus, trying to reform Hinduism, trying to persuade the Hindus to treat the ex-ancestrals better. But after two decades of effort, he declared himself quite frustrated in his attempts. And he came to the conclusion that orthodox Hinduism cannot be reformed. And he decided that a change of religion was needed, and he made the famous declaration which every one of his followers knows, that which was that I may have been born a Hindu, but I do not intend dying one. And after that he was searching around for some other religion to follow, some other faith. He looked at Christianity, he looked at Islam, he looked at Sikhism, looked at Marxism, but in the end he decided to become a Buddhist, and to advise his people also to become a Buddhist, to become Buddhist. He felt that if they got out of the Hindu fold altogether, if they adopted another religion, that would give them self-respect, and they will be able to say that they are, in this case, Buddhists, that they are not Hindus, they are not untouchables, they're just like anybody else, they're just human beings following the path of the Buddha. So he thought that the best thing that they could do was to get out of the Hindu fold, get away from Hindu society completely, change their faith. And for one reason or another, I'm not going to go into that this evening, this would take us too far afield, he decided to become Buddhist himself, and to advise his followers to become Buddhist. So in 1956 there was a great ceremony in Nagpur, and he and about half a million of his followers, they became Buddhists, and after that the movement spread. But he died, unfortunately, 6 weeks after this great mass conversion.